Welcome to One Christian Church. We're so glad you're listening in. It's our prayer that the Word of God will both challenge and inspire you as you listen.
Honor is just more than a bit of good advice. Do you realize that? Honor is a principle. And it's even more than just a, you know, like a normal principle. You're about to read in Exodus. It's a wonderful principle that works well for you. Check this out. Exodus 20 verse 12 says, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you." Do you realize honor? All of these have benefits to them, but this one states, clearly makes a promise. If honor is a principle of yours, you will have a blessed life. Think about it. Who would like a blessed life? Got some bad news for you. You better start learning the principle of honor. If it's not already part of your life, it had better become a principle in your life. So to understand honor in the biblical sense, I want to make a simple distinction, because I think what happens in our English language is it has been confused. And if I make this distinction for you, I can perhaps give you one of the key tools in being able to honor. Anyone find honor hard? Have you stopped to think about why you find honoring hard? What we fail to do is make the distinction between respect and honor. And it's only when it comes to a time of application that it becomes evident that these two English words that we so readily interchange are not interchangeable. You see, we're called to respect people, but we're called to honor position. Think about it. Think about the people that you struggle to honor. Is it the fact that you don't respect the person? Because it's hard to honor someone whom you don't respect unless you make this distinction. You are not called to honor the person. You are called to honor the office of the person. You are called to respect the office of the person. My kids go to a school, and they recently had a principal change. Now, let me tell you, our last principal was the jovial big teddy bear. I mean, everybody from pre to 12 just loved this man. He was awesome. I mean, you could not like Aaron Guppy, right? He's the most beautiful man alive. You can't not love him. And so you think, oh, it's easy to respect Aaron Guppy because he's such a nice person. But what if Aaron Guppy wasn't a nice person? What if he was a bit more legalistic? What if he was a bit more about the rules? What if he was a bit more about detentions and homework and getting stuff done on time? I mean, you'd find it a bit harder to honor him because you don't respect him. And some of you are in positions of authority at work. And I want to tell you, it's God's charge upon your staff to honor your position. Even if you are a complete bowling ball, even if you're an absolute nutball, they are to honor your position. Now, it's upon the company to make sure they find a person that is suiting for that office. If you are not respectable, they should remove you and put someone respectable in, so honoring becomes easier. But respecting people is not a commandment, but honoring is. It's kind of like the love and the like thing. I'm not commanded to like any of you, but I'm commanded to love all of you. So in the end, we are commanded to honor a position, even if that person that is in that position, be it temporary or long term, is harder to respect. We still have to honor the office. So what does honor really mean? Well, the Hebrew word is korbad. Oh, not that you really care about that, but it's important to understand where the concept has come from. So go back 4,000 years and you're a farmer, or you farm wheat, or you're a cattle herdsman, whatever. You'd bring your produce into market, and what they would do is they would weigh what you have, right? That's how you are. So you can't just say, "I've got 15 head of cattle," because if they're all scrawny and dad looking, you're not going to get the same price. Weight was how value was established. Got it? That's actually what this word means. In the Old Testament, the word honor means weightiness, right? So for someone like me, 71 kilograms on a wet day, the idea of weightiness is not a good idea when it comes to authority. But it's got nothing to do with me. It's got to do with the position that I hold. Is there an authority? Is there a responsibility in what I do? Absolutely. Well, forget me. Honor the office. That's what it's about. So weightiness, it's understanding that it's not the person that makes the position honorable. It's the position itself that carries in and of itself its own weight, its own demand for honor, right? You ever noticed that there is really no positions out there that are filled with perfect people? So you kind of got to get this right now, today. Because if you don't, what happens is you'll continue to struggle honoring people, because it's funny how the brain always seems to find the fault. And the second you find fault, you release yourself from the demand to honor. And I want to tell you that it was the fifth commandment, not the fifth suggestion. God was serious when he said, honor your parents. No one is free of this principle. We are to honor the position, even the person that does not live up to our expectation. You may lose respect for the person. You may not lose honor for the office. Can I say that one more time? It's okay to lose respect for someone who's not respectable, but you are not to ever lose honor for the office. The position is what you're honoring, not the person. It's really important. You get it? Really important. You see, if you don't, has anyone ever been hurt by someone in authority? If you don't make that separation, what happens is you get a bit of a chip on your shoulder. So let's say you work at your local hardware store and your boss is a tyrant. Ever had a tyrant boss? And so what happens is you get this chip on your shoulder about your boss, and then what happens is he moves on. Gets run over in the car park or something terrible happens to him, but he moves on, and then they put a new manager in. Now the problem is you already have a suspicion now about the man that's just taken that position, because you didn't separate the man from the role. You didn't separate the person from the position. And what happens is you become suspicious of the new guy. You become fearful of the new guy. You carry all those hurts and those wounds, and you can't really move forward. You just keep hanging on to the baggage. True? Anyone carrying baggage from someone in the past, an authority figure who did something to you, said something to you? I've carried baggage for years about people in authority who I believe have abused their position. Does that give me the right to reject authority in my life? Gives me a right to not respect that person anymore. But I must honor the position, the authority. When we moved to Brisbane, we got this block of land and bought our house, and our neighbor did not like the fact that we built a house next to him. Anyway, and that was his reason. That's why he hated us, because we built a house next to him. What he used to do is his little spiteful thing. Was he'd mow his lawn and throw him over our yard every single weekend, the little knucklehead. Anyway, so I went over to him constantly saying, knock it off, man, knock it off. Anyone find that disrespectful? Thing was, imagine if I was a policeman and he didn't know it, right? And he keeps dumping his stuff over in my side of the fence and I say, stop it, man, stop it. And he doesn't respect me, he doesn't like me, so he ignores me. And then one day, I'm out on the street in my uniform. He's not going to respect me anymore, but he's sure going to honor the office of the policeman. You got it? We have to be able to separate the person from the office, because if you have an expectation, I'm perfect, let me off you the hook right now, I'm going to let you down. Are you hearing me? There is no one on this planet that's going to meet your expectations. And we need to begin to understand that the person is not the position. And we're called to honor the position. I want to just make a couple of quick statements for you so you can do your own self-assessment. Am I an honoring person? Because there's no point me telling you, because you'll just reject it because I'm in authority. You've got to assess it yourself. You've got to be able to look at yourself and say, gee whiz, I better work on that. Honor starts at home. That's what we just read in Exodus. Honor starts at home. And all the mums and dads go, keep preaching, don't stop. Some would argue that's Old Testament, it's Exodus 20, it's Old Testament, that doesn't apply to me, I'm a New Testament Christian. Well, the only problem with that argument, of course, is that Jesus said the same thing, and then Paul also said in Ephesians 6:2-3, honor, he quotes, Exodus 20, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. This is the only one that states a command, it commands that there is a blessing, honor, that it may go well with you and you may live long on the earth or long in the land. Why is it so important? Like, think about this. There's 10 commandments. How did this one make it into God's top 10? He could have picked a whole stack of things, right? Think about it. There's only 10. And he thought honoring parents should have been number 5 out of 10. Why is it so important? Think about it. Penny's going to drop. Are you ready? Because kids grow up. They grow up. Do you want to know why our society is full of rebellious twits? Because this was not instilled in them as children. They do not honor. Honor, you would not say honor is part of the Aussie culture. What a bunch of disrespectful morons who have no respect for authority. Seriously. We've got the attrition rate of school teachers is unbelievable in this country. Teachers afraid of going to school It shall be the jolly kids who are afraid of going to school. But no. We got this ridiculous thing that honor is not okay. Honor is everything. Honor is one of God's top tens. Kids have got to learn to honor their parents, because if they don't learn it when they're kids, how are they ever going to learn it when they grow up? I mean, moms and dads have given so much. If kids don't learn to honor the ones who have, first of all, fed them and then clothed them and nurtured them, chauffeured them, given them life, given them discipline, given them just about everything. If you can't learn to honor those people as if you're going to ever honestly honor your boss, your government, your policeman, let me tell you, the curse on society is the lack of honor. I mean, morality is a big issue, but I'm telling you what, you can have a whole stack of nice living people that have no honor for authority, and you've still got chaos in your society because there isn't a respect for authority. You got to learn it as a kid. Oh, by the way, you don't stop being a kid when you move out of home. I'm still a kid, 50-year-old kid, but I've still got parents who I'm supposed to honor. My dad could be an absolute drunken nutbag, but I got to honor him. I don't have to respect his living. I don't have to respect his choices, but I have no right, as far as God is concerned, I have absolutely no right to speak badly about him or bring dishonor upon him. If my dad is a drunken twit, to honor him is to not expose it and to cover it, to show him some honor. Though he doesn't deserve my respect, his position deserves my honor. And I will not dishonor. If you can't think of anything nice to do, don't do anything and you're probably honoring them. I was a very dishonoring young man. My mother and I fought like cat and dog, or two cats, or whatever we were. We did not get on. I was a very dishonoring young man. Now, we were too much alike, you see. And we fought all the time, endless fighting. And so I couldn't wait to go and tell everyone how much of a knucklehead my mum was. You wouldn't believe what that stupid old bag did now. You see, that's dishonoring. And that brings trouble into my life. Now, yes, of course, I've repented of it and bought flowers once. But point is, whether my mother was everything my little vain imagination made her out to be or not, I dishonored her. That's not okay. It's not okay. So whether she's the most wonderful woman in the world, that does not elevate the right or the responsibility to honor her, because she has nothing to do with the position. She is in a privileged position. I honor the position. And if she's honorable, she receives full honor. She can take it upon herself as being deserved. Second statement that you can self-assess. The first one was that kids need to honor parents. Honor starts at home. And if you've moved out of home, it's not too late to start learning the principle of honor by honoring your parents, though you no longer live at home. The second statement is, honoring peers is no different. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another. Be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Do you realize what we've just talked about applies here? You see, whether I like Adam or not, if he has a position, I've got to honor him. We are not to focus on the person. We are to focus on the position. Because let me tell you, if you focus on the person, you're going to be let down. You want to set yourself up for a perpetual letdown? Keep looking at people. Keep looking at their faults. Keep looking at excuses why you shouldn't do what you've been asked to do. I know you might think this is harsh. It's not me, man. This is what the Bible says. Honor. Honor each other in love. It becomes easy when you start taking your eyes off the person and on the position. Now, the way we honor is quite simple. Remember we said it's weightiness. The word honor means weightiness. It's quite simple. You acknowledge the cost. We've got to learn to honor each other, whether you like that person or not. As the church grows, friends, there's going to be more and more unlikable people in here. Hallelujah! It challenges and stretches you when God sits you right alongside the person that has the exact same personality type as you. We honor those in positions who are apparently our peers, whether we like them or not. We honor the fact that they have responsibilities they must carry. And whether we respect them or not, we like their sense of humor or their haircut, doesn't matter. What matters is we go, I acknowledge the cost. You got to honor the office. Let's go to the third statement. 1 Timothy 5, verse 3 to 8 says, honor widows who are really widows. Honor true widows. But if any widow has children and grandchildren, hey, this would go really good in our culture, wouldn't it? Let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. Now, she who is really not a fake widow and left alone. So you've got two scenarios here. One widow whose husband has died and is left alone, but has kids and grandkids. The second scenario is here. Now, she's really a widow, so they're both really widows, but this one is not alone. This one is alone. No kids, no grandkids, no one look after her. She trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers day and night because she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And these things command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own family, especially for those in his own household, he has denied the faith and worse than an unbeliever. So, now, especially in this culture, this is very traumatic. In Australian culture, in Western culture, not so traumatic. We've got a network, a system, a net that catches people. But this principle still resides true. If you have a widow who has children and grandchildren, the children and the grandchildren are meant to support, honor the sacrifices of the widow, the woman that brought the entire family onto this planet, the woman who gave of herself physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally to give life. Honor is to honor that sacrifice, that cost. So the second scenario, of course, is if there is no family, she's been widowed, the church is meant to honor her sacrifice. Support where we can, support whoever and however we possibly can. So here's the thing about honoring widows or anyone really in need. And this is why I raise this one, because not everybody's a widow, but there are many people in genuine need. Because in this culture, you'd only really be a widow if your husband died, because divorce was not okay. But here, 51% of marriages end in divorce. There's heaps and heaps of people who are separated, not widowed, but might find themselves in dire straits. Husband gets drunk, leaves home, leaves them with four kids. Well, there's no new story in that, right? So is that person a genuine widow, truly a widow? And so the argument culturally and here would be, can she work? If she can work, that's how they fall out of the category of true widow, unable to look after themselves. So we're talking about someone in genuine need, right? So what it does is it forces the family to step up and show honor. And where there is no family, it causes the church to step up and show honor. Got it? Simple? You see, honor is a respecting principle. It's a responsible principle. It's a principle that stretches us all. We've got to honor those who have given us so much. Honor is a promoter of right living. It also promotes unity. Fourth statement. Honor brings blessing. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worth his wages. Now, this is about honor, the office. So if you've got someone a little more needy than me in this position, it shouldn't change your giving. We're talking about principles here, and honor is a principle. The principle of tithing is that 10% is not even yours to withhold. So it's got nothing to do with whether you like me, my preaching, my dress, or you have some guy that's 400 pounds sloppy and smelly. You got to honor the office, no matter who's in the office. And if you can't respect the man enough, either get rid of him or move to another church. But don't dishonor. Don't bring trouble into your life by dishonoring. Have honor as a principle in your life. Statement number 5. No honor, no blessing. No honor, no blessing. Matthew 25, in chapter 13, we read the story of Jesus coming back home. It's nice to come back home after 18 months doing ministry. Wouldn't it be nice to come home and get a welcome party? Yay, Jesus is home. Not quite how it went. It says this. So they were offended at him. Jesus comes into town with his disciples, and the people are offended that he's come back into town. They've heard all about him, and he's come into town to do something wonderful, to teach the kingdom of heaven has come. Deliverance is yours. The Redeemer is here. And they're offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Kent Hovind says his thing, yes, the further away from I go from home, the more famous I am. Only in your own home, in your own country, in your own house are you without honour. There's something wrong. See, this is not a new problem. You get the picture? This is not a new problem. Dishonour is not a new cultural thing in the West. It's always been a problem because it's part of our human flawed nature, because we are rebellious. We are rebellious at our very core. And the idea of honour goes against us. Now, even Jesus was disrespected and dishonoured. Jesus, the Son of God, the perfect sinless Son of God, who turns water into wine, raises dead people, walks on water, comes home and goes, I'm here. And they go, what do you think you're doing? Who do you think you are? We know your brothers. We know your sisters. We know who you are. You're the carpenter's kid. Come around here. Who do you think you are? Well, all they had to do was look at what had happened in the office, make the separation. Well, we might have grown up in this town and you might be a carpenter's kid, but the fact is you're doing miracles that not even the Pharisees can deny. So look what it says here. Now he could do no mighty miracles in that town, in his own town. Imagine how much that grieved him to be in his own town, his own neighbors, and not be able to bless them. He healed a few sick people and that was it. He could have been raising dead. Could have been moving mountains, doing anything, but no, migraine, yep, sore tummy, that's about it. You see, the failure to honour removes blessing from your life. Did you catch that? The failure to honour will cut the blessings off from your life. Jesus came to them in order to bless them, in order to do miracles for them, in order to teach them truth. And they missed it all because they refused to honor the office of the Messiah. All they could see was the man. And if you live like that, I promise you, sure as the sun's coming up tomorrow, if you continue to focus on the man and not the honor, the office of the person in authority, you are robbing yourself of God's blessings. Guaranteed. Oh, I'm not just talking about church. This is a universal principle. This is what God says is good for everybody, from the smallest community, from the two-person home to an entire nation. This is a principle. So it's got nothing to do with whether you're a Christian or not. This is a principle for life. At home, at church, at work, in your neighborhood, watch, in whatever you're doing, honor. It's a principle of God. It's not my idea. It's God's idea. He's generally got better ideas than me. I don't like his timing most things, but I'm learning. So no matter where you are, we've got to be able to distinguish between the person and the position. Because Peter says that it's God who sets up these positions. He puts these positions in order. We need authority and order. Yes? Ooh, and all the rebellious ones are going, I'll think about that one. You see, without order, you have chaos. Without order, you have chaos. Proverbs 30:12 says that everybody thinks they're right in their own eyes, especially the fool. If you think, this is going to come across harsh, but I'm going to smile while I say it. If you think you know more than God, you're an idiot, because you don't know more than God. That's what the proverb says, is that if you think you know more than God, you're a fool. The definition of fool is someone who's unteachable, uncorrectable. And if that's you, just stop it. Now, what you've got to do is what all of us have done, is we acknowledge that we've sinned. That's a stupid way to live. How could I possibly think I know more than God? That's a dumb way to live. But granted, I've been living that way. I acknowledge it. You don't try and sweep it under the carpet and pretend it didn't happen. You flat out acknowledge it. I have been living my life my way because for some reason I think it's my life. Do you know 2 Corinthians 6 says that you've been bought with a price? Some of you just haven't let the transaction go ahead. It's been paid for thousands of years ago, but you just keep going, oh, this is my life, this is my life. I'll make my own mistakes. I did it my way. What a stupid way to live. That makes you a fool. And if you're a fool in the room, I've got great news. You're in good company, because we've all been fools. We've all thought we know how to live our life, and look where it got us, right? But one day we have this revelation, there's probably a better way to live than this. And we acknowledge that what we have done is live life my way. And then we hear the great news, the gospel, that Jesus Christ paid for our sins, paid for every mistake. I mean, the thing I love about the gospel is it doesn't just deal with the past. The gospel is not just about paying for sin. It's about a future, a hopeful, purposeful, meaningful, eternal future. So the gospel is simple. You've sinned. So have I. You've got to acknowledge that you've sinned. And then you say, if Jesus has paid for my sin, I'm going to accept that payment. I'm going to exchange his death for my life, because he exchanged his life for your death. Romans tells us that our sin requires a payment of death. I don't like that. I think it's a harsh sentence, but I'm not God. It's not my justice system. It's not my courtroom. This is what God says about his creation. If you sin and offend me, eternal death. But you can have life in Jesus Christ. He sinlessly came, sinlessly lived, sinlessly died, and took on, Corinthians says, he became sin, that I could become righteousness. Not just carry it, not put on a coat when I want to and say, I'm righteous today, but I'm going to go and sin tomorrow. No. I become righteousness. Holy Spirit lives in me and makes me more and more and more like Jesus himself. Every day that I surrender my life to God, I become more like Jesus. So, if that's you and you've been living your own life, it's simple. Acknowledge that you've been living life your own way and you're going to stop it. You're going to let Jesus pay for all the sins of the past. It always leaves me kind of speechless when I stop and think about, do you mean if I was a killer, let's say I was a killer, you would actually say, I forgive you. I mean, think of the worst person on the planet. Think about someone like Adolf Hitler, killer of millions. If he had repented, come to God and said, I have killed millions, I'm a horrible sinner, God would have said, you bet you are, mate, but I gave my son for you. And if you'll turn your life to me and live for me, I'll forgive you. So if you think that those copious amount of speeding fines and the lies that you've told and all whatever else you think you've done that's made you unforgivable, I've got some great news. You're wrong. There's some things that are good to be wrong about, and this is one of them. You are forgivable because God's goodness is not reliant on your goodness. It's reliant on his good nature. And you can be forgiven today. You can be forgiven today. That's it. Oh God, I've sinned. I'm giving my life to you. That is the whole song and dance. There is no religion. There is no ritual. It's just you coming to God and saying, I have sinned. Take me. And if you can do it, you'll be born again. Holy Spirit actually comes in. It's what Romans tells us in chapter 8, verse 16. The Holy Spirit moves in and confirms that you're born again. The journey has begun because the Holy Spirit has moved in. If you're not there yet, imagine life where the Holy Spirit's leading you. You're reading the Bible and you're thinking, this used to be boring and now it's so alive. I think it's the most magnificent life ever. I used to have money. I used to be popular. I used to be young. I used to be fit. I used to have a lot of things. That was not living. This is living. I know God. No matter how much I have in my hands, I don't take any of it with me. No matter what I achieve, I have to leave it behind. But with God, it doesn't matter how little or how much I've got. Whatever I build into eternity, whatever I build for the kingdom of heaven is coming with me. Some of you are Christians, but you're dishonoring. You live a life of rebellion. You profess a Christian worldview, but the Holy Spirit is completely ignored. You dishonor God himself. He says, stop doing this. The Bible says, stop doing this. And you go, no, it's my life. I'll choose what is right and wrong in my eyes. Don't dishonor God. But you do. Get it right today. This is a chance for you to get right with God. Get right with God. You don't need a priest or a vicar or whatever you want to call the guy at the front, because we're just as flawed as you. All we can do is point and say, here's Jesus. Don't look at me. Here's Jesus. I can't do anything for you. Here's Jesus. So are you looking to Jesus? Are you looking to Jesus? Is your life honoring Jesus? You see, if you're a Christian, our life is meant to be honoring him, honoring the position, not just the person of Jesus, but the office of the Messiah. We're either honoring or dishonoring. You notice there's not really much neutral ground. How you honoring? Is your life honoring Jesus' incredible sacrifice for you?
For more messages or information, you can contact us through our website at www.onechristianchurch.com.au. We would love to hear from you. Hope to see you this Sunday at One Christian Church.